But we're glad to see you here this morning. I have a few announcements to highlight. Next Sunday, we'll start the kickoff of our renewal services. We will have the all-fellowship luncheon after the worship service. There will be one worship service next week, 9:30 Sunday school and 10:30 worship, then the all-fellowship luncheon, and then in the evening, we'll have worship starting at 7 p.m. But on Sunday evening, if you'd like to come out, there's also pizza at 6 o'clock. So come join us for pizza and fellowship before worship. The other announcement that I'd like to highlight is that in your bulletin, you will find an envelope for One Great Hour of Sharing. The One Great Hour of Sharing offering will be taken next week, so please use that envelope. There's an insert that tells you how the One Great Sharing offerings are used throughout the denomination. The other thing I'd like to highlight is that yesterday the leadership team and the deacons got together to talk about vision and mission for our church. We have updated the vision and mission statements, and you'll be finding information coming up in your newsletters, and at the next council meeting, we will be voting whether to accept the new vision and mission statement. So you keep looking for information to be given to you. Any other announcements that we need to make this morning? Then I'm going to ask you just to prepare your hearts and let's turn your eyes to the screen for our video.
A candle. A single flame, when extinguished, brings darkness. That same flame, when ignited into multitudes, brings a great light. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life, a path to see, a brightness to shine. So as we gather today, we receive that light and carry it forth, a light only Jesus can give that we offer to the world."
Would y'all please rise and join us in singing, "Here I Am to Worship"? Somebody once told me, when I play, do it joyfully. Sometimes I come home from practice and I go, "I messed this up," or "I can't play this," or "I did this song wrong." And then when somebody says, "If you're not going to do it joyfully, don't do it," well, sing joyfully. Scream it out. That's what I want to hear.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made its heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, you're so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here we are, and the great I Am says he's here with us. And there's no greater feeling in the entire world to be able to go anywhere in this entire universe and know that the great I Am is there right along your side. We invite you, any joys or concerns that you may have, to share with your church family. We have a microphone. We just simply ask you to put your hand in the air, and we'll get that to you so everyone can hear.
Right here. I will know. Today we're 68 days seizure-free. Yes, I'm keeping track. And another awesome blessing was Friday when we went to see Dr. Kennedy Daniel's surgeon. He was happy with where we were. He was happy with his progress, his walking, his arm, everything. We are coming off of the one med we absolutely hate, the Keppra. So we're starting to come off that. We'll be down in 2 months. We'll be down to just one seizure med, which that's not happened in, well, I don't know. I don't think that's ever happened. And the other thing that is awesome and a blessing, and thank you guys for prayers, is we got to meet Violet. They just, all the stars lined up, and she was in between therapies, and we had somehow managed to get a surgeon and a neurologist and all these people in the same room at once, which never happens there. And we were out the door in a half an hour and in a lobby with Violet, and she is doing amazing for as far as the extent of the surgery that she had. So keep the prayers coming, because she's doing really well. And she does have 2 more weeks. They extended her stay in rehab, so she'll be there till the end of the month at least. But she's doing awesome. So thanks, guys.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. The biopsy report is in. It's not what I expected. I'm positive for left breast cancer, and I will be meeting with the multidisciplinary team this week, and they look at many things: your age, your medical history, and what should be done. We just want to look for a miracle, because it's in one lymph node, and they want to make sure that it hasn't spread further. So I'm seeking your prayers, looking for a miracle from God. And if I need your help, I'll ask for it. So continue your prayers.
Amen. Amen.
Just want to give an update on Amy. We messaged back and forth throughout the week. There's really no scare in the area where Amy is. There are a number of people in her prefecture that do have the coronavirus, but it isn't anywhere near where Amy lives or works. So, and she teaches at a nursery school, so nobody's been exposed in her area.
Praise God.
I'd like to ask prayers again for my stepfather, Nevin Walter. He has managed to stay out of the hospital so far this month. But he continues to be losing blood from somewhere. He is very pale, sleeping a lot. He fell the other night. My mom couldn't get him up. They had to call the ambulance to get him up. So he's just really struggling, and so is my mom.
I had shared several weeks ago about my cousin Abby, who was in China. She did get to South Korea. Now she has moved on to Japan. There's talk of her maybe going to Thailand. Her work has told her that she needs to go back to work in China, but the Chinese government says, please don't come back. So she's still kind of navigating her way, again, also staying away from the coronavirus. On another note, my father, Tom, had shared several times about a young woman, Justine Smith, who had all kinds of issues. I'm not quite sure. I think a tumor on her brain. Just this week, she did pass away. So she fought hard. She fought really, really hard. But she's now at peace. She's now healed. She leaves behind her husband and a young son. So just keep that family, the family of Justine Smith, in your prayers, please. Thank you.
Well, Mary and I would like to share a joy. God blessed us with our sixth grandchild this week. And Tobias Wilson was born on Wednesday to our daughter Stacy and son-in-law Josh.
Congratulations. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you each day for taking our hand, for leading us through the Holy Spirit, for giving us opportunities to share life together. And we just praise you for Daniel and Violet and the families being able to interact with one another. And we just continue to thank you for the blessing that you have bestowed upon each of them as they recover and as they look forward to that day where they're limited to just one med. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. And we pray that the seizures continue to just be non-existent. And we pray for Violet, Lord, that you would walk alongside her and her family and bless her and allow her recovery to go well, and her strength comes back just as well as it was before and even stronger. And we just thank you, Lord, for just continually watching over us and impressing upon us that you're with us, that you never leave us. And even in those darkest times where we don't really feel you, we know you're still there. And so this morning, Lord, we just reach out to you and we just say, Lord, in the situation I find myself in right now, I just want your touch, the touch that you give to us that may be miraculous, and we pray that it would be so in the name of Jesus for Suzanne and the cancer she has, Lord, that it would be removed in your name. And we praise you, Lord, for whatever path you take Suzanne on, and we know that you're able to keep us centered on who you are and what you mean to us. And so thank you, Lord, for being a loving God, a forgiving God, and a God that takes us through every valley and through every high that we go through. We think of families that have lost loved ones, and we think of Justine's family, and just pray your hand of comfort, your peace upon each of them and those of us here today that have lost loved ones, whether recent or in the past, Lord. We just pray you would continue to fill that void that we fill each day with your love and with the endurance that you give us to get through each trying time where we may face tears, where we may face loss that we used to have that person to do things with. But Lord, we know that you're a God that never lets us feel alone. So thank you, Lord, for being an accompanying God. We think, Lord, of Carl this morning and Christine and Sandy and Naomi and Kenny. And Lord, we just thank you for new life. And we praise you for Nevin's life, especially this morning. You know what he's been through, the number of times he's been in the hospital, the falls that he's taken. Lord, you know precisely where he's losing blood. You formed his body. You know it in and out. And we just pray for his wife as well and for the family, Lord, that you would surround them, give them peace and comfort. But Lord, we just pray specifically right now in the name of Jesus, wherever that blood is being lost, that it could be found through you, Lord, that it could be stopped. And we just ask you, Lord, to just be with Nevin and his wife and his family, Lord, and just bless them in this time. And we just thank you, Lord, for new life. We think of Tobias, and thank you for Josh and Stacy and the family and for grandparents. And thank you for the ability just to be able to surround each other with love and with caring and nurture and know that we are here for one another. And sometimes when we feel alone, just reach out to each other and just be willing to say, I could use company right now. I could use a voice to listen to. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're with us and you journey together with us. But in that journey, Lord, we know we sin. We know we do things that are not pleasing to you. And Lord, every day, not just today, we want to take pause and say that we're sorry. We want to ask for forgiveness and we want to turn from that sin, not just repenting, but saying, Lord, no longer will I be faced with that sin, that it's not a part of me, and that we truly want to walk in the light, no longer in that darkness. So we take pause. We say, forgive me, and we ask that during this next few moments of silence. Wash over us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Set us free, Lord. For we know that it's only in you that we can find true freedom. But we know, Lord, there's an active enemy, an enemy that tries to keep us in that same place, feeling guilty. But Lord, today we claim that victory. We turn to the light and we see the light. We know the light is upon us and it's shining brightly. So Lord, we just cast out that darkness, whatever it may be in each of our individual lives. And we say yes to you, Lord. We believe in you and we know that you are the only one, the one true light that can enable us to see through this dark world. We pray for those affected by coronavirus. Lord, we pray your continued protection, your hand upon each of us. Lord, that we wouldn't fear, that we know we don't need to be afraid, for we're secure. We know of our salvation, no matter what happens to us, that we'll be with you when we take our final breath. But Lord, we pray we would be faithful, we would be steadfast, we would be about your business, shining our lights and sharing who you are, being transformed by that amazing name, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Some of you may have seen the bumper sticker, "Jesus is my co-pilot." When I first saw this bumper sticker, I chuckled. But then I got this strange look on my face and said out loud, "For the love of goodness, switch seats. Why in the world would anyone want Jesus to be their co-pilot instead of their pilot?" But the more you think of it, the more it makes sense based on our culture's approach to faith and religion. "Jesus, I want you close to me." Wait, not too close. Maybe within earshot. We may say we want Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, as long as he doesn't start making us do things we don't want to do. In my head, I see the creative team looking at the first draft of this bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is my pilot." Some have arms crossed, and some have the one scratching their chin or head. Some may be making a face a little closer to a hard no. Then someone says, we don't want to be pushy. Let's make him a co-pilot. When you ask Jesus into your life, he will not want the passenger seat. He wants the captain's chair, and he will want to drive all the time. You can't learn to be more like Christ by being in the lead. You've probably spent years in control of your own life only to find out that you could not save yourself. Check your bumper sticker. You may need to switch seats. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you openly today. I pray as we give our tithes and our offerings that you would help us to reflect on your role in our life. God, we pray that you would help us to make you the pilot in our lives. Amen.
To invite any children to come front. More children? Well, thank you for coming front with me. Can anybody tell me what happened last night with the clock? Right, it changed. We had to go to daylight savings time. Did that mean you went to bed earlier last night? You didn't go to bed any earlier? When you go to bed, are you sometimes afraid of the dark? Naomi says yes, Chloe says no, Olivia says yes, me too. Sometimes I'm afraid, there's other things I'm afraid of too sometimes. Well, I wanted to volunteer to get into the box today because I want them to get in the dark. See how dark you can get in there. Okay, Naomi's gonna do it for us. She fits pretty well. We're gonna close it up. And she said sometimes she's afraid of the dark. So what do you think? She's in the dark?
It's not very dark.
She says, well, maybe we need Pastor Matt to sit on top of it. That would make it really dark. That would make it really dark. Okay? Well, she said sometimes she's afraid of the dark. Sometimes I am too. That's good. Thank you. We'll cover it up. We'll cover it up. All right. But sometimes I get afraid of the dark at night because there's coyotes around my house, and then I'm really afraid. What do you think? Yeah, what do you think we could do to make it a little more light in there? You think this would help? See if this helps. Can you turn on that light? See if it makes it a little more light.
Let's still cover this.
Still cover it, so she's in the dark. Does that help you see? Can you? It works. Can you see any better?
Yeah.
A little bit. A little bit? Well, what else could we do to help her? Let's see. Think this would help her? Yeah, okay. Well, see if that makes it any more light. There's a little flashlight. Does that give you more light?
I don't know how to turn it on.
Ah! Sometimes we don't know how to turn on our light, do we?
I figured it out.
Ah, she figured it out. Does that give you more light?
Yeah.
You would not be afraid in there?
Probably not.
Probably?
Unless the batteries died.
Probably not unless the batteries died.
The only time I'm scared of the dark is if there's a thunderstorm going on.
A thunderstorm that gets dark at night?
No, it just scares me.
It scares me too. We can be afraid of a lot of things, but shall we let you back out? Thank you.
I think me and Olivia would fit better.
You think you and Olivia would fit better in there. Well, I'm afraid of the dark sometimes, but Pastor Matt's going to teach us today about the light. And I have a verse here that says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to me. What do you think that verse means?
Who? It means that if you follow Jesus, you'll be able to see light, but if you don't, then you'll see the darkness because the devil will be coming.
That's really a good exclamation. If you follow Jesus, you'll see the light, and if you don't, it'll be darkness and sin. So where does Jesus come when we see the light?
Our hearts.
Into our hearts. He comes into our hearts. Does he want us just to keep that light in there? What are we supposed to do with that light?
Share it.
Share it. We're going to share that light. I think you all know a little song. And I have something here that you can share to help the adults remember to share their light. And since we only have three people, I'm going to let you take several. And when we sing the song, we're going to sing This Little Light of Mine. And I'm going to ask you to go through the congregation and give them a candle so that they can remember the light, that they can invite Jesus into their heart too and share the light. Now, they're scattered out over there. Look at this. There's one here, and then there's one over there. So don't forget, there's people way in the back. You want three?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to remind the adults to shine their light just like we shine our light when Jesus comes into our heart. All right, thank you.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Please rise up to them your feet and join us in singing Indescribable.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song. Stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light? Yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name, you are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God.
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him, Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. The other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come.
So here's what's happening. There's a life and a death struggle in the hearts of the Pharisees and the crowds that are listening to Jesus. The issues are eternal and basically the same ones we deal with today. Tragically, some of the characters in this story make choices that lead to eternal death. They're offered life, though, by the only one qualified to give life. Yet they reject the invitation. But how is it that they could be standing face to face with Jesus himself and still not receive life? What would cause a person to make the kind of choice these religious leaders are making? Where's their fear of God? What has emboldened them to challenge the Creator of heaven and earth? We begin with Jesus' gracious invitation to follow him. It's after the Feast of Tabernacles, possibly the eighth day, which would have been added to the seven-day event, or it could be a day or so after that. We don't exactly know. But the activities of the feast would have been fresh on everyone's mind. Now, we may recall the purpose of the feast was to celebrate the harvest, to give thanks to God for delivering Israel out of Egyptian slavery. So during that week, they even would live in temporary booths or tents to help them remember God's faithfulness to their forefathers during Israel's wilderness journey. We remember the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night as they traveled from Egypt to the promised land. It's what we would call a supernatural manifestation of God's presence with and for his people. You see, it gave them the light they needed at night and the guidance they needed both day and night. So one of the most spectacular events during the Feast of Tabernacles was the lighting of the great candelabra. The crowd watched each night as young men climbed 75 feet high in the air to pour oil in the four huge candelabra and light up the entire temple area. You see, we're so used to electricity lighting everything up, but can you imagine the spectacle this must have been for those first century Jews? So that darkness, that complete darkness the first night after, must have been quite the contrast. So there they are. Jesus is sitting at the temple court and he's teaching and he says to them, "I am the light of the world." Now, Jesus is not just a light to light up the temple, although it was in his anticipation. He's not just the light of Israel, but he says, "I am the light of the entire world. I am the promised Messiah." Now, even if you weren't a believer, it's your first time in a church, you've probably heard it said, Jesus is the light of the world. Yet here, in the book of John, for the very first time, Jesus is saying, "I am the light of the world." But notice something. Who is Jesus talking to? It's not his disciples. It's not those who have been following him all along. These very words are spoken to those who question it, to those who refuse it, to those who go as far as to reject it. You see, friends, "I am" matters for those who, even if they do not know it, need to hear it most. Remember that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He went on and he said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." So it makes sense the light he speaks of, bringing life through himself, is to those not walking in it. But what did he mean? What did he mean when he said, I am the light of the world? Friends, Jesus is claiming that he is the only source of spiritual light. In essence, what he means is there is absolutely no other source available to mankind. Now, in our minds, we know that there's two types of light in the world. We can perceive one or the other, or even both, and at times, neither. When we're born, we perceive physical light. We quickly learn God's handiwork in the things we see. However, although that light is good, there is yet another light. A light so important that the Son of God had to come into this world in order to both declare it and to convey it to people. Again, John 8:12 reads, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Friends, this verse speaks of the light of his truth, the light of his word, and the light of eternal life. It's why Jesus can say, those who perceive this light will never walk in darkness. You see, we're transformed by Christ to love and serve others. When we take a candle in a room, what does it do? It dispels the darkness. Likewise, friends, this light of Jesus shines on the darkness of our sin. It sheds light to our hearts and lives and to those not following him. So when we sing in just a little bit, we saw the light. We see the need to follow him. Without the light, we don't have life ever after. But at the same time, we realize physical light is necessary for physical life. Imagine the earth would rapidly change if there were no longer any light. Think about it, a forest full of trees with a thick canopy up above. What does the ground below look like? Very little plant life. Perhaps some moss or lichen, which doesn't need sunlight. But if you like plants and you put them near a window and the light comes through the window, do you ever notice which way the plant grows? Towards the light. Now think about that for a moment. In our spiritual walk, as we follow Christ, we should be drawn to the light of Jesus. But we also know there's a very active enemy who tries to take us into the darkness, who keep us into the darkness so that we can't see the light. But the more we follow Jesus, the more others can begin to see that light. It's the reason we gather in church on Sundays to be part of Christian fellowship. It's the reason we volunteer and say, yes, I want to be part of church life. It's why we pray. It's why we read the Word of God. It's why we take the good news from this place and love and share and serve it with others. But the unbeliever will do the opposite because light would expose his evil. And the unbeliever hates the light. John 6:37, indeed, no man can come into the true spiritual light of Jesus Christ unless he's enabled. So friends, there's two promises here in John 8:12. First and foremost, his followers will never walk in darkness. Friends, what that means is it's an assurance of salvation that we get to enjoy every single day. As followers of light, we will stray from sin. It's actually impossible for us to live in a state of continual sin. But rather what happens, we repent in order to stay close to that light. And friends, the second promise is this. We become what we'll call light reflectors. A light reflector of life. You've heard me say it before. We are not God, but we are replicas of divinity. One of the favorite things I have hanging in my bedroom is an authentic replica. Not a replica, because it's his actual signature of Nelson Aguilar, number 13 on the Eagles. If they trade him away, I'll be so sad. But it's an authentic because it has a certificate of authentication. Now imagine that over your lives, that people, as they see you walking in the light, sharing the light, shining brightly, they see that certificate of authentication. There's a true believer. There's a real follower of Christ. Can you imagine the difference in our lives as we walk throughout our own worlds, that other people could actually see the light beaming from us? What a beautiful, beautiful thing. So Jesus enters as the light of the world, and he goes on commanding us to be lights as well. Matthew 5, 14, 16, we see believers depicted as the light of the world. Just as the moon has no light of its own, it reflects the light of the sun. We believers are to reflect the light of Christ so all can see. It's the greatest evidence of our loving service to others. So the emphasis here is maintaining a credible and an obvious witness to a world. God-honoring, faithful, trustworthy, sincere, earnest, honest in all we do. Friends, there's no greater feeling than seeing the light. When darkness befalls us, you ever see those moments where your hand can't even be seen in front of you? And when you find that switch, it never felt so good to be able to see what that noise was all along. You see, light reveals things. It shows who we are, and it's never meant to be covered. It's made for all to see. So to walk in the light is to live one's life for Christ. It means progress. It means growth. It takes us stepping more and more towards maturity in Christ. And friends, to be light can mean life to others. It can bring happiness and joy. It can enable righteousness and help us gain understanding. James 1:17, the Bible is clear that light comes from the Lord God, the Father of the heavenly lights. You see, God is the opposite of evil. And here, the Apostle John is repeatedly using the word light in relation to the Messiah. I love what 1 John 1:7 says. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 5, John says that God's very nature is light. So then what that means to us is Jesus is the conduit of light to the world. And our Christian duty then becomes to live in that light that God gives us. Ephesians 5:8, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And when we walk in the light, we won't be able to walk in darkness. So as Matthew 5:16 reads, sin is left in the shadows as we let our light shine before men. You see, friends, it's part of God's plan for us to become more like his son. Therefore, walking in the light means we consider Jesus as the light in this world. And we walk in that light by following his word, by living in the power of the Holy Spirit and growing day by day in his grace. And we can see as we look around the bright lights shining among us. So today, friends, can we honestly say that our neighbors can see our light? There was a story about a grandfather who took his little grandson for a walk in the woods. As they were walking along, they stopped for a moment, and the grandfather asked, "Do you know where we are?" And the little boy said, "No, I don't know, Grandpa." So the grandfather asked, "Do you know where we're going?" And the little boy again said, "No, I don't know where we're going." So the grandfather chuckles and he says, "Well, I guess you're lost then." But the boy looks up and he looks into his grandfather's eyes and he says, "No, Grandpa, I'm not lost. I'm with you." Friends, when we're with Jesus, when we're following him, we're never lost, and we'll never need to guess where we need to be. So here's the offer of a lifetime. And what do these Pharisees do with it? They hardly even hear it, let alone receive it. There they are standing before the Lord of glory, the one who could change them from a creature of hell to a creature of heaven. And they miss the point. And why? Because they're preoccupied. They're concerned with something else. We don't have to doubt whether they heard his words because of their response. But friends, those words never penetrated the depths of their hearts. Jesus is offering them the gift of eternal life, the opportunity to be changed and spend eternity with him. But their minds are so focused on their own agenda. They have their own expectations of who the Messiah should be. They totally miss out. So I pray in the name of Jesus today that we may see the light and that there may be no more darkness in our sight. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this incredible light that you give us. Lord, day by day, there's opportunities where we could be led into the darkness, but by your light, we pass on by. And we say, not today, Satan. And we walk continually in that light, revealing to others who we are, trusting you, believing in you, knowing that you have a path designed for us for that day, even now, in this very moment. So as we prepare to sing our final hymn, our closing praise, and as we prepare to walk out these doors, I pray that light switch in whatever way needs to be turned in our lives would be turned on, and those lights would reveal you to this world. And may no one die not knowing you. We praise you, Father, that we can be a witness, that we can be transformed, and we can love and we can serve others. And it's in Jesus' most powerful name we pray. Amen.
Please rise to your feet and join us in I Saw the Light.
I wandered so aimless, I filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. When Jesus came like a stranger in the night, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Just like a blind man I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like a blind man God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
The light. Amen.
That's God's plan. God's plan for every single one of us is for us to see the light. God's plan is not for us to walk in darkness. Maybe it's just time to open the eyes of our heart and to let God in and let him reveal himself to us and to see him in a way we've never seen him before, that light might burst forth into this world and that we might love like we've never loved before. May it be so, in the great name of Jesus, our Lord.
I saw the light, I saw the light.